writers, welcome to the Beyond Writing Podcast. I'm your host, Dacri Carey, and today we're going to talk about how do you reach your audience. This is part two. We spoke last week about how do you find your audience. So this sort goes hand in hand with last week's episode. You really need to have done the homework from last week's episode in order to figure out the reach things we're going to talk about in this week's episode. Let me just apologize right now. I've had a really bad cold for a while now, and I can't seem to shake it, so I probably sound a little off, and I'm definitely low energy. I apologize. We're going to plow ahead. When I was sort of putting together my notes to think about what I wanted to talk to you about this subject, I quickly realized it is a very vast topic. We could talk for an hour and barely scratch the surface of what you're going to need to know. There's so many elements that go into this. I hate to use the phrase tip of the iceberg. That's such an old cliched phrase. So I'm going to instead use an analogy that might be slightly gross, but if you have kids, you will understand. It's sort of like peeling a sunburn. You see some minor sunburn damage and you think, oh, I'll just peel that little flake off. And then when you start peeling, you find there's so much more that needs to be peeled. That's sort of like what reaching your audience is like. There's a lot to uncover, and when you start really digging into it, you find out that you start to see how much you don't know and how much further you can go. But there's also good news. You can do some simple things to start with your reach and then sort of expand once you feel comfortable and entrenched in that particular technique or channel or whatever you decide to focus on at that time. So to simplify things, we're going to talk today about two aspects of how to reach your audience. And those aspects are what channels your audience consumes and what message they're going to want to consume. So in order to really go through this, you have to have done the homework from last week and sat down and really identified who your audience is to be able to begin to answer these questions about how you can reach them. This is not by any means a comprehensive list, and this is also so general, it's probably not going to help you in particular, but it's going to help you get started thinking about how you can apply this to the writing that you're doing and the research that you're doing in terms of your audience and your reach, your personal audience and reach. So first, let's focus on the channels that your audience consume. Some aspects of this are likely to be genre and demographic specific. There are some places that certain genres might go to find out about books, and there are certainly different places that demographics will respond, different channels that various demographics will use. So you need to know the demographics you're trying to reach with your audience in order to identify which channels are going to be successful in reaching them. So for example, genre-specific places, if you have a book that is a Christian-specific book, or a book about business, or a self-help book, each of those types of genres is likely to have specific places where the audience is going to go to find out about those books. You can use mainstream sources, but they probably aren't going to be the most effective way to reach those sort of niche audiences. So if you have a specific genre, the first thing you should do is look around and try to see if there are genre-specific channels that apply to your book. So you could do that by going to Google and searching for keywords related to your book, like where do I find out about romance novels, or what are the best romance novels out this year, or new romance novels out this month. Or if it's about business, you might Google for the topic that your business book is based on. So maybe say you've got a business book that supports your consulting business, and the business book is How Do I Become a More Effective Leader? Google it. See what comes up. You're likely to find a lot of articles around the topic, but you may also find websites devoted to this, and that may be a good place to start, especially if it comes up on the first page of Google. Any source that comes up on the first page of Google is a good place to get your book, because a lot of people, when they do Google searches, don't go past the first page or maybe the first two or three pages if they really don't find responses that work for them. So if you're advertising onto a page that you found from Google, you really want to be near the top of the list. So there are also channels that are going to be easier to reach specific demographics as well. So for example, Facebook and Twitter tend to skew to a slightly older demographic, whereas Snapchat and Instagram tend to skew to a slightly younger demographic, although I guess Instagram is sort of in between. Pinterest, for example, is really popular among moms and people who are crafty and also people who are into fashion with the very visual sort of styling that Pinterest uses. So really think about what the channels are that your demographic is likely to be using. And this is an example where going through the persona-based exercise we talked about last week and really coming up with a few personas that represent your readers can help you better decide what channels your personas are likely to utilize. If you're not sure what the answer is to a specific demographic, you can Google. You can look for keywords that are related to your book and see if there are specific channels where content tends to appear. If there are a lot of Facebook posts about a particular thing, if there are lists on Goodreads, just sort of do these exercises and find out where the channels are that come up when you're looking for information about these topics. So online is a really effective way to reach people. You can reach a wide audience without having to physically be there in person. And it's great if you've got a niche or narrow genre and you need to advertise. Online is really going to give you the best bang for your buck in your marketing dollars. But online is a big place. There's a lot of stuff online. So I've sort of broken down the online categories into social media, websites and blogs, podcasts, and you can get more specific. There are a lot of places you can put things online to reach your audience. So this isn't meant to be an exhaustive list. It's just sort of to get you thinking about where your audience is likely to hang out. So for social media, for example, you've got the big ones. You've got Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram, Pinterest. You've also got video. Don't discount video. Video is really hot right now. You may be thinking, I have a book. I don't have a video. But a lot of people are using video to help discoverability of books, and quite successfully, actually, either via YouTube or via running video ads on Facebook. Right now, Facebook is trying to compete with YouTube in terms of offering video content. So they're offering video ads much cheaper than static print image ads, than static digital image ads. And that can be a great way for you to maximize your budget dollars if you're advertising on some of those sources. Another time we'll talk about video advertising for books. It's a really interesting topic, actually. So social media is one set of channels where you can reach your audience. They offer you a lot of bang for your buck in terms of you don't have to spend a lot of money penetrating them, although you can spend a lot of money advertising on Facebook, and you can actually do that quite successfully. I think that's another topic for another podcast. But one problem that a lot of authors have when it comes to using social media is they don't know how to use it effectively, or they'll spend way too much time on social media when they really ought to be focusing on other aspects of the business, either writing the next book or marketing in multiple places. So it's good to use social media, and it's a great free way to get exposure and organically build your audience base, but don't spend too much time on it because it can really quickly become a time sink, and if you're the type of person who is likely to procrastinate, it can be a very unfortunate sidetrack to your career. So let's talk for a minute about websites and blogs. Websites and blogs are sort of the heart and soul of the internet. They have provided a way to share lengthier content than you can share on the social media platforms. For example, on Twitter, you know, you've got the short content snippets. On Facebook, you can have a little more content and is often accompanied by a picture. On Instagram, it's primarily picture. You can have a little text with it, but really the pictures are the focus. So different channels have different sort of focuses. Blogs and websites give you an opportunity to share longer form content, and they can be a great way to reach your audience with more than just a snappy message. The trick to using websites and blogs is to find websites and blogs where your readers are likely to hang out or to consume content from. So, for example, if you're writing a book that would appeal to moms, you might find popular mommy bloggers or influencers in this area and have them promote the book either through paid advertising, which some of them will accept, or just send them a copy of your book and say, well, not unsolicited, send them a query asking if they're interested in a copy of your book. And if they are, send them a copy and let them decide if they like it and if they want to talk about it. The trick is, with approaching any of these people, you really need to be respectful of the fact that these are people who are probably getting a lot of these types of requests, and you have to A, pitch it very quickly and effectively because their time is valuable to them, and B, it better have a darn good hook to make it stand out from all the other pitches they're likely to be getting about similar ideas. Another option, if you have certain types of writing, might be communities or groups based around that type of activity or content. So if you have travel writing, for example, a good place to talk about it might be travel forums. There are some forums that Kay and I used to use when we were traveling a lot, when we were writing about our trips, for overlanding and also for motorcycle travel because we did some traveling by motorcycle. So there are likely to be online groups related to the thing you're talking about. The flip side of that, or the caution with that, is don't be self-serving and attempt to use those groups just to promote yourself. People in groups like that tend to be pretty protective of their groups, so you can't just join as an outsider with the bald attempt of, hi, buy my thing. You have to really become a part of that community in order to authentically advertise to them. And a lot of places will actually have terms of service that bar you from coming in and making advertisements or talking up a product or a book or whatever you have, in this case, books. So you need to understand what the terms of service are. And if you have a doubt about whether or not it is appropriate for you to be posting your content in a forum or a group, ask a moderator. Be respectful. The last thing you want to do is be really aggressive in promoting yourself and then make enemies or make a bad name for yourself in the community. Word of mouth can be a really valuable tool in promoting your book, so if you make a community mad, that could really burn bridges for you. So it's really important to think about the long-term picture and maybe what other books you might have coming out about the same topic down the road or in a similar topic, and think about what the best way is for you to approach these communities. And maybe you could offer something different. Maybe it's not just I come in here and tell you I have this book about this topic and you should go buy it. Maybe it's, hey, I wrote this book about this topic because I'm really interested in it, so I would like to offer advice, or I would like to give a workshop or answer questions. Like, you can find a more creative way to pitch it to some types of content and be accepted in these communities, whereas if you just come in and say, I have this thing, buy it, you're not going to get the same type of reception. So again, this requires you to understand what communities or groups that your target demographic is likely to belong to. So this is where you really need to go back to the how do I find my audience or how do I identify my audience, and do the exercise, think about what your audience is. Do the persona exercise, think about where your people are likely to be consuming content online so that you can find the right communities and groups. And if you have doubts, Google is your friend. Google things related to the community or group, and I'm sure you'll find your way to something. You can also be creative when you're thinking about what communities or groups to approach. So, for example, there's a specific era John Carpenter type of horror movie fan who's likely to be a little bit more educated about old horror movies or horror movies of a certain quality and caliber. And if your book strongly features these as part of the central theme, it may appeal to that community even though it's a romance, because you have this emotional bond with people who are interested in the same thing. But if you are going to use that as a way to approach a community, it better A, feature actually heavily in your book. You can't just have it as like a really secondary side plot and say, it's about this. It's not about that. Don't lie. And B, it better be accurate and authentic. Because if you are approaching fans of that particular thing, they're going to know their stuff. And if you do not, that will be a problem. Another example of an online website or blog that you might be able to target is a curated list or a curated content site. So there are sites that exist entirely to talk about a specific genre or a specific type of content. For example, a thriller author I know, Mark Dawson, also runs a website called Killer Thrillers, where they talk about thriller books, and partially that is to talk about Mark's books, but also that's a way for them to connect with the community around those topics and provide a curated list of books. And a community, he's built a strong community around that website. So going to a website like that, if you also write a thriller, might be a great place to get featured. So there are a couple ways you might discover these in your genre. Either you can Google keywords related to your book and see what sort of curated content sites come up, or you can specifically search curated content X genre or X subject. Curated content, romance, like stuff like that. So a little creative Googling can get you a long way in finding these sites and these communities. And if you are a fan of the type of book that you've just written, you probably already know some of this. Think about the places that you would go to discover new books about this content, etc. Another option online, it's sort of like a hybrid nowadays between online and old media, is podcasts. Believe it or not, podcasts can actually be a great way to get word out about your book. There are a lot of podcasts out in the world about a variety of topics, and you can appeal to readers either through finding a podcast devoted to the type of book that you've written. So, for example, if you've written a romance novel, you can go find one of the romance podcasts and talk to the podcaster about being featured, or even doing an author interview, or talking about your writing process. There are some creative ways you can approach podcasters to build exposure for yourself without just being self-serving, I want to tell people about my book. Alternately, some podcasts do advertising. So if you have a podcast that you think would be a really effective way to reach people who are going to enjoy your book, you could pay the podcaster to feature an ad for your product. As a podcast, oftentimes it's not a print ad. It's just a verbal ad saying, oh, here's this book. It's a really cool book. We're going to tell you about it. And they will read a blurb. And it's even better if you can get the podcaster to actually read the book and then they can offer some sort of insight of their own about the book. That's the ideal. Again, this is not something that all podcasters are going to offer, and podcast may not be an appropriate channel to reach your audience. You really have to do the research and decide, again, go back to the persona, see if this is a channel that might be a worthwhile way to approach your audience, because the audience is consuming it. I would be remiss if I didn't at least mention the option of mainstream media. I feel like that's really not an effective way to reach an audience these days unless you have some sort of crazy wide appeal fiction book or some sort of popular content book, like maybe a really good cookbook or something where a wide audience is appropriate. In most cases, you're going to get much better traction for your dollars going for a more targeted audience. If you have a partnership with a traditional publisher, they may want you to do some media, and if they do, do it. But it's probably not the best way if you're self-publishing or a hybrid publisher to be able to reach your audience. That being said, do the exercise. Think about the audience that you have identified. Are they likely to discover information about new books on the radio, on TV, in magazines? If so, you may want to pursue mainstream media. I don't really recommend this route, especially for people who are likely to be listening to this podcast. If you are a well-established author already, this might be a successful route for you, but if you're just starting out, this is probably not something that is going to A, be an option for you, or B, be a cost-effective way for you to spend money on advertising. So this one is sort of interesting, and it really only applies if you have print novels, but this is physical locations. Well, it mostly only applies if you have print novels. We'll talk about that in a second. So if you have physical product to offer people, go to physical locations and offer it to them. I'm not talking about guerrilla-style stalking the supermarket. Find excuses to host events or participate in events at physical locations. So, for example, if you have some good local brick-and-mortar bookstores, particularly if they're small indie bookstores, talk to them about doing an author event, having a reading or a signing, something like that. Do you have good local coffee shops? Maybe talk to them about doing an author event at the coffee shop. A lot of local coffee shops will do some sort of community-based events. Sometimes it's poetry reading, sometimes it's music night. There's no reason you can't approach them about doing an author event. They may or may not be receptive, but it's a really good place to try. Also, some coffee shops have lending libraries or places where you can leave books and take books to read, particularly, I think, tailored toward while you're at the coffee shop. But it's not a bad thing to go leave your books in a lending library in a coffee shop, and you're going to get exposure that way. At the very least, people are going to see them there, and if you're lucky, people will read them, and then they'll talk about them to other people, and then you'll sell them. So building word of mouth this way takes longer, but there's no reason not to do it if you have physical product. Another thing is bakeries. And this is really something that only applies if your book is about a bakery, but I recently read a book by Stacey Ballas that was set in a bakery, and it was really cute. And if I were Stacey, I would talk to my local bakeries about displaying my books there and possibly hosting an author event there. So if your book is set in a place where there's likely to be a small mom-pa brick-and-mortar store, you can talk to them about hosting an author event there, especially if it's going to appeal to the community that visits their store. So, for example, if you are a fisherman and you've written a book about fishing, maybe it's a thriller that's set on a lake, I don't know what you would write about fishing, but you could go to your local bait shop or your tackle store and say, hey, I wrote this book about fishing. I'd like to set up an event or just have my book on display here. A different example, Kay and I are working on a book about motorcycle safety, and we intend to distribute that physically in motorcycle gear stores that are located in our area. So we're going to have physical copies on display in those stores for people to buy, and we'll probably also do events at those stores. Another option that you're going to have to be a little more creative with is supermarkets. So mass market books are books that are designed to be sold in places like supermarkets and Walmart. And a small indie published or self-published person, A, is unlikely to have mass market physical books, and B, you're not going to get a big chain like a Walmart or a big supermarket chain to stock your books. It's just not going to happen. But there might be a way around this if your local supermarket hosts events. So say, for example, you live near a Whole Foods, and especially if your demographic is likely to use a Whole Foods, that's important. You don't want to go into Whole Foods with your book if your target demographic is not going to shop there. But so you could pitch to Whole Foods the idea of hosting an event there. Could be, if you have a cookbook, for example, you could host a cooking class there or do a talk about picking the right produce. There are a lot of creative ways you can pitch things that might not meet with traditional appeal if you were to just come in and say, I've written this book and I want to sell it to people. But if you can think of a creative way to position that in that retailer, you're more likely to get an opportunity to go in there and use that channel to try to reach your audience. Another type of option, if you have physical inventory and you're willing to go into a place, a physical place, is something like a social club or an organization that is likely to have people that you can approach socially. So, for example, here in the Boston area, a number of nationalities have nationality-specific social clubs where people from that community gather and talk about whatever things they talk about. If you belong to one of those communities, you could talk to the community about hosting an event in the social club or even just talk to other members of the social club about your book. If your book is likely to appeal to a specific organization, you can approach them about either talking about your book or again, hosting a workshop or something related to the content of your book. So for example, if you've written a book that strongly features horseback riding, and it's actually accurate if you're an equestrian or extremely familiar with horses, you could approach a local equestrian organization about hosting an event there. Or if you write a crime thriller, but you are also a gun enthusiast and it features very heavily detailed descriptions of guns and their operation, you could talk to local gun clubs about hosting an event there around that aspect of it. So you can pick an aspect of your book if it would appeal to a demographic in an organization or a social club and sort of pitch it to them. You may have mixed success with this, and again, it's important to not come across as too self-promoting. It's more about trying to find a way to provide something interesting for the community that would want to engage with your content. So, for example, if you have this equestrian-based book, you wouldn't just go to an equestrian organization and say, hey, I have this equestrian-based book. I would like to come talk to your members about it. That's exactly what you don't want to do because it's really self-serving. It's, I have a thing I want to come and push on you. Instead, you might position it as, hey, I wrote this equestrian book, and while I was writing it, I discovered these really neat things about horseback riding, or about a specific type of saddle or tack or whatever it is, and you can pitch it to them like, hey, I would really love to come and talk to your members about this really cool thing I discovered while I was writing this book. So it's important if you're going to pitch to a community, or in this case an organization, to find a way to position your pitch as something that is of interest to the demographic that is going to be there. So it's not about you pushing your thing. It's about you engaging with this community or organization around something that they will find interesting. So it's about them. This is really distilling down the essence of how to reach your audience. It's not about what you're pushing onto your audience. It's about what will your audience want to consume. If you want to go really guerrilla, you can think about other places that people read and think about whether or not your book might be an appropriate fit for those places. So for an example, doctor's offices, dentist's offices, any place where people sit around for a while waiting for an appointment might be a good place to get a copy or two of your book. You're not likely to have big success with this with a large hospital or someplace that has very specific guidelines about what's allowed to be in the office, what's allowed to be displayed in the office anyway. But you might have more success if you have like a small local clinic or a local physician or a dentist who owns their own practice, especially if you're a member there. You might have more success talking to the office manager and saying, hey, I have this book. Can I put a couple copies in the office for people to read? They may say yes or no, and again, it depends on whether or not your book is a good fit for people who would go there. So if you've written an erotic romance, they probably won't want to display that in their office, especially not if they have children in the office. But if you've written a children's book, and it's a pediatrician, or it's a dentist that serves children, they might be much more willing to have your book displayed in that office. Lending libraries are another good place to get your book distributed. I touched on this earlier when I spoke about coffee houses that have lending libraries, but again, to use Boston for an example, there are a number of places around the Boston area where there are just structures or containers that are set up for people to leave and take books. And these are designed to foster reading and sharing among the community. So if you have physical books, you can put them in these places and people will take them and read them. And if they're really good, they'll tell their friends about them and maybe buy them. So one thing I've left off this list is getting into actual libraries. That is a whole other thing that we may touch on in a future podcast, but it's not really something that we want to get into here. Libraries are their own separate topic. So other channels that you might want to think about reaching your audience. Amazon is really important in this. You may think you're going to sell through other marketplaces. Maybe you also want to go wide and have it at iTunes. Maybe you want to list it at Gumroads or do something on Leanpub. But Amazon is the main way people buy books nowadays. And it's certainly a place where millions of people go to consume books. Whether it's buying them or renting them through Kindle Unlimited lending library type stuff, people are going to go there to discover books that they want to read. So I cannot emphasize highly enough the importance of figuring Amazon into your calculation about where to reach your audience. How you do that on Amazon may depend on a few factors. It will likely be through some combinations of paid advertising, maintaining an author central page, possibly print distribution through Amazon, depending on how your print is set up. There are a variety of things that you might do on Amazon as a marketplace. I don't really recommend thinking about the other marketplaces so much as distribution channels or ways to reach your audience, because while you can distribute there, they're not really built around discoverability the way that Amazon is. There's a lot that we can go into about it, so I think I'll do a separate podcast in the future about Amazon specific. There's a lot to do about advertising on Amazon, the different types of ads you can run, what type of success you are likely to have with each type of ad, and how they synergize based on your sales data with Amazon's natural discoverability algorithms. It is a hugely popular place for people to search for content, and you definitely need to consider it when you're thinking about how you want to reach your audience. Going back a minute, I said earlier the physical places that you can reach audience require you to have a physical product to distribute to them. That's not entirely true. One thing that Bright Little Light Press has done, we have print copies of our author's books for distribution, but some people prefer to consume content in e-reader form. So if they find you somewhere where they're looking for physical books, they might not want to buy the physical book, but they might be interested in it. So we have also printed business cards that on one side have a printed cover of the book, and on the other side, it has information about the book, including a QR code that links you directly to the Amazon page for the book. So, for example, one of the books that we have is Della's Diary by Renee Darcy. And one side of the business card has the book cover printed on it with a black frame. And the other side of the business card has the title of the book, a little tagline, which in this case is self-discovery, family, relationships, and an unexpected twist. It's got the author information by Renee Darcy. It has available formats, paperback, Kindle, iBooks, and at the bottom is a link to brightlittlelight.press because we have printed these cards. And it's got a QR code, so anybody who has a phone with a QR code reader on it can scan the code and go directly to the Amazon page because Amazon is the biggest distributor of books online. You could have that QR code point to a landing page or some other place if you want people to have access to multiple formats. So if you wanted to link them to a landing page on your own website and have on that page a link to Amazon or iTunes or Barnes & Noble, Kobo, other places people can buy books online, you can absolutely do that. But for us, we just prefer to go directly to Amazon because that's where most people are going to go anyway. It doesn't factor in the other landing page conversion, the fact that you're going to lose some people when you go through a landing page, just put them directly on Amazon from our perspective, but you may prefer to do it differently. So having this card we can distribute means we have something physical that we can give people who want to consume the book in ebook format. So if we're at a book fair, or for example, and we've got print copies of the book, we have a little business card holder sitting there with the ebook cards. And that way people can just take the ebook cards home with them, and later on when they're looking for ebooks to buy, they have this card. So this can work anywhere that you're going physical with a book, like at a book fair or if you're giving a workshop somewhere. And it's also a really handy thing to carry around on you all the time. You're probably not going to want to carry around paper books in your purse or in your backpack all the time, but you can easily carry a small business card holder with your book covers on them and links to the website to sell them. Not to go off on a tangent here, we can talk more about this another time, but I just wanted to say you don't always have to have physical print books in order to be able to promote your book. If you have an online book only, you can still do these cards, have something physical to hand over to people. Okay, so we talked about marketplaces and how Amazon is really the one that can help you the most with discoverability. There are also channels you can reach people that are purely promotional. Like BookBub is a really popular source nowadays for authors to reach their audience. BookBub is a email subscription service that has subscribers who want to find out about special deals in specific book genres. So as a reader, you would go to BookBub and say, hey, I'm interested in these types of books. And whenever BookBub features a book, has a discount on a book in that category, they will fire off an email to that list of readers. So BookBub has a breakdown of their demographics in each reader category on their website. When you're looking at the pricing, they've also broken out the pricing based on the number of people you're likely to reach. So you can go directly to BookBub and see the category that pertains to your book and how many people are on that list. For romance, for example, I think it's something over 2 million book subscribers are on that list. So if you run a BookBub promotion to those subscribers, it could be potentially seen by that many people. They also break down the average number of people who take advantage of a deal, either through doing a free download or if you're doing a discounted sale. So you can really get an idea of what your numbers are likely to be going through BookBub, which is great because not every advertiser offers you that information. Another sort of promotional channel you can use to reach people is doing promotions and co-promotions with other authors or publishers. This could be in the form of guest blogs, or maybe you get together with another author and do special offers. You could team up with another author. I know, for example, Mark Dawson, who I mentioned earlier, who writes thrillers, has teamed up with another thriller author who has a large audience, and together the two of them offer free books at the beginning of their series to people who sign up for their mailing lists. So, for example, one of these list options for Mark's fans to come in, they would actually get four books or four pieces of content. One of them is a novella that Mark has written, and one of them is the first book in his series. And then the author he's signed up to promote, co-promote with, is Russell Blake. So you would get one Russell Blake novella and the first book in one of Russell Blake's series. So you're getting two full books and two novellas by two authors who have really wide audiences. By offering all of this, they're able to give the readers a lot of value. They're able to give them a lot of stuff that they can read. And they also cross-promote to one another's audience, so they're reaching way more people than either of them would individually. So this can be a great way to add mileage to your promotional options. The flip side of that is, you're really going to be most effective at doing that if you also have an audience of your own. You want to team up with someone else who has an audience that is roughly the same size as yours, maybe a little bit bigger, but someone who has an audience that is much larger than yours is not going to want to team up with you. There's no value in them for doing it. Unless you have really amazing stuff and you just need exposure to reach people, sometimes they might take you on for that reason, but you have to convince them to do that, and it's got to be an amazing pitch. Generally, I wouldn't recommend approaching authors whose audience size is dramatically different than yours. So using these channels to reach people is likely going to be a combination of paid advertising and free things that you can do on your own. So you're likely to use paid advertising on Amazon, on BookBub, and I recommend using paid advertising on Facebook too for certain types of ads and certain types of goals. And paid advertising in these places are really valuable tools for authors. Using paid advertising right in these places can dramatically propel your sales. And there's, again, the synergy to do with sales and the number of downloads and things on Amazon that if you can get some of this through paid sources, also boosts your organic reach there. And we'll talk about this more in another podcast. There's a lot to go into on that. But really, it's good to know that doing promotions in these places can have really wide-reaching effects on your sales. But again, it only matters if your target audience is going to consume content in these channels. If you've got something that's really niche, people are not going to look there for that content, then going through these channels is just going to be a waste of money. With the possible exception of Facebook, because you can really target pretty much anybody on Facebook. So for example, the motorcycling book that I mentioned earlier, that Kay and I are going to sell directly into physical bookstores, I'm probably not going to run a lot of paid ads on Amazon for that book, because Amazon readers are not likely to be looking on Amazon for that book. It's going to be more of an impulse purchase, and there's definitely an education element involved, that they're not going to just go out into the wild and look for that content. It's something that I have to put where they're going to see it. So to reach that audience, I'm going to have to use different channels. Amazon would not be a good source for that. When you're thinking about paid reach, you might also consider doing paid ads on podcasts, paid ads for movers and shakers in the industries. So like mommy bloggers or people who have a wide reach, if it's really core to your demographic, is definitely worth paying for advertising in those places. There's a lot that goes into whether or not you should pay for advertising, which includes your return on investment, and we'll talk more about that in a future podcast, but it's definitely something to keep in mind when you're thinking about the channels you can use to reach your audience. Have it on a list, think about it, maybe do some research into it on your own in the meantime, and we'll talk more about it at a future time. So that's part one of this podcast. Those are the channels where you can reach your audience. Part two is creating for them a message that they're going to want to consume. So it's not enough to just know where to get your message in front of people. You also have to present your message in a way that is going to resonate with those people and make them want to take action. So when you're tailoring the message to the channel, there are two things you need to think about. A, it needs to be appropriate to that channel. So it has to work within the restrictions imposed by the channel itself and also within the term of service. So for example, some social media has very specific terms of service around the types of language you can promote. Facebook, for example, also has a limit on some types of image you can post. You can't post an image with a woman with naked breasts, for example, and you can't post an image with a gun that is pointing toward the viewer. So some people who have thriller covers with a gun that is pointing toward the reader have had their Facebook ads banned. So you need to make sure that the advertising you're using, it complies with the channel requirements and the terms of service. And the requirements would be things like on Twitter, the character limit, and also what types of photo formats can be used. There's really commonalities across the web now, so a lot of things that would apply on one channel would apply on another channel. But just make sure you know what the restrictions are for that channel so that you're complying with them. And the other thing is to make sure that the content is appropriate for that service. So you want to use video on video sites. You want to use snappy ads on Twitter. On Facebook, you might have something that's slightly longer, but still not a really big chunk of text, because that's not what the people on those platforms are going to want to consume. Video on video platforms is something sort of new that I'm running across a lot lately, and is starting to bother me, so I just want to, like, mention it really quickly. If you're doing a video ad for a book, it should have video in it. Don't just have a bunch of still images with some text on it. That is one way you can do it on the cheap, but it's not appealing and it's not really in the spirit of the service. You can get a much more dynamic ad if you actually include video. It doesn't have to be all video. You don't have to hire someone to go out and shoot a trailer, but you can integrate video clips with text and still images and create a really compelling video trailer that you might use on YouTube or in a Facebook video ad. Point is, make sure that the message you're presenting is appropriate for the channel you're presenting it in. So the second part of that piece is different demographics will respond better to different messages. So you need to make sure that your message is targeted to the demographic you are appealing to on that particular channel. If you're appealing to more than one demographic on a channel, you should probably do that separately. To give you an example of this, targeting for America's Favorite Couple, which is a romance novel that one of our authors here at Bright Little Light Press is actively marketing right now, runs into multiple targeting demographics. So the one campaign might target three or four ad sets, which would be different audiences for a particular ad or set of ads. So for example, one of the target audiences that Renee uses is people who are fans of romance novels, also who are likely to watch reality TV shows, and who have a Kindle and use it for reading. So that would all be targeting on one audience. An ad that appeals to that audience would use language specific to that demographic. So she also advertises into a second audience, and the second audience is fans of specific romance authors. So romance authors who are popular in the genre, for example, Nora Roberts, Robin Carr, Sylvia Day, very popular romance authors, and she can target people who are fans of those authors. Also, people who use Kindle. It's one of her targeting criteria right now. So the language that she would use in the ad that is targeted toward the reality TV fans and the creative that she would use is different than the creative and the language that she would use in the ad that is targeted to the romance readers. So the reality TV fans, she uses sort of a snappier tagline format and an image that really emphasizes the drama and spectacle, whereas the ad that goes into the romance market is more focused on the love story of the character and less on the reality TV drama aspect. So this is a really good example of using different language and messaging to appeal to different demographics. Another demographic I know she targets regularly is single moms, because the main character in that novel is a single mom. And she will use different language that plays up the fact that she's a single mom, has this awesome kid. So really changes the language and the creative that she uses along with the language, which is the picture or series of pictures if she's doing a carousel ad or whatever, to target specifically that audience and demographic. So the point is that the language and the tone that you're using has to be tailored to the demographic that you're targeting. Another example of this might be if you are targeting a younger audience, using emojis and language that appeals to a younger audience, like keywords and phrases that a younger audience is likely to use, would appeal to that audience. But using emojis and language that would appeal to a younger audience is likely to turn off an older audience, or at least make them take the book less seriously. So it's really important to create a message that is going to resonate with the audience that you are trying to communicate with. If you are identifying, or if you have identified, multiple audiences who are likely to enjoy your book, then you need to create different messages to go to each of those audiences. And this is something you're also going to want to test. So you're going to want to use different versions of the messaging to advertise into these different audiences and figure out what works best for them. The idea is that you want to create a message that really connects with these people emotionally and makes them invested in wanting to buy and read your book. So to think about another example, if you've got a novel that you're advertising into a blue-collar demographic, so people who are working in, I don't know, construction or retail, then you might play up the fact that your main character is this hardworking person and, you know, works hard for the things that she has in her life. And if you're targeting the same book to an office worker or someone who's a little more affluent, you might change the message to something that they would respond better to emotionally. Like maybe your main character complains about their boss or has trouble finding a good work-life balance, feels overworked, or has trouble like making home life work well with the work-life balance. Point is to think about the different demographics that you're talking to and come up with a message that's really going to appeal to those demographics. And finally, the message that you're presenting through the channel that you're presenting it through has to be presented in a style or with the creative that people at that channel and in that demographic are going to find attractive and interesting. So particularly if you're using the internet, this really applies. The internet is very visual these days. And while you are advertising a book, which is, you know, tens of thousands of words, people really make emotional connections with images. Images also are likely to catch their eye when they're scrolling through a feed or looking at an Amazon page full of similar books. Whatever the case may be, it has to have good visual imagery. What this means for a lot of self-published authors is you're going to have to spend money on getting these creative visuals put together. So if you think you're a Photoshop whiz and you can put together a book cover and some promotional images, you better be really sure you're right. Most authors are not also Photoshop book cover design expert whiz people, and they really need another person to come up with these creative visuals that are going to present well in the various channels. There's also some aspect to it of the size of the image and the aspect ratio of the image. Facebook, for example, you're more likely to want a rectangular image for your promotions, because they are wider than they are tall most of the time in Facebook feeds, whereas a book cover, for example, needs to be taller than it is wide, rectangular in the other direction. And if you're advertising a book on Amazon, they have very specific size guidelines about what your cover size has to be. So it's important for the creative you are designing to look good in the format that it needs to live in, and on the channel where you intend to use it. So you're probably going to want several different versions of creatives to appeal across different channels. You're likely to want a book cover to go on Amazon. You probably want a wider promotional image for Facebook, which you could use as a banner image on Facebook and also in Facebook ads. You could even do a banner for your website, which tends to be wider and shorter. There are a lot of different things that you might want to think about when you're doing creatives for your marketing messages. Another thing you should think about is whether or not there needs to be any special formatting depending on the channel you're using. So if you're using a blog post, for example, using headers and bold and italic text to break up the text and organize the information that you're presenting makes it much easier for a reader to consume the content. If you've got a 500-word blog post and it's all squished into one paragraph, or even if it's broken up into paragraphs but doesn't have any sort of headers or bolded text to draw the eye to specific information to give people an idea of how it's structured or what's in it, you're not going to have as good of a read-through rate as if you have an attractively styled and formatted piece of content. This applies also on Facebook, for example. If you're running a Facebook ad, A, you want something that's shorter, and B, you want something, if you are using multiple paragraphs, for example, you want to actually break it up into paragraphs. Facebook generally doesn't respond well to a giant wall of text. Another thing to think about on Facebook specifically is how your text or ad is going to display on mobile versus on a desktop feed. A lot of people consume Facebook in mobile these days, so if your text on mobile gets cut off, you want to make sure that whatever is above the cut is really interesting and is going to make people click the more link to expand that. So these are all things to just think about as you're thinking about the channels you're going to use to communicate your message. Make sure that the way you're communicating it is appropriate for that channel, is going to look good on the channel, because if it is appropriate for the demographic, but it's badly formatted or badly styled, people are not going to consume it. They'll say, oh, there's a giant paragraph there, that's too much text for me to read, I'm just going to skip past that. Or again, like if you have misspellings, or if you use a font, for example, that is really hard to read, or it looks really juvenile, immature, there are a lot of different reasons people might decide the style is not good for them. So looking at other content on that channel and seeing how it is presented is a good way for you to get an idea of how content ought to be presented on that channel. If you have questions, you can look for guidelines. A lot of places want to make it easier for you to create content on their channels, so they'll put out guidelines for you about how to format and display things. Or you can look for blog posts about it. There are a lot of guidance for you around this particular area, but it's important for you to just be aware of and think about how you're presenting the message when you are trying to reach your readers. So I have just given you a ton of stuff to think about. And like I said earlier at the beginning of the podcast, this is really just flaking the first few flakes of the sunburn. I hate that tip of the iceberg analogy. So there's a lot more we could cover around this topic, and we'll go into specific details about it, about aspects of it anyway, like Amazon ads. Another good place to start if you are thinking about running Facebook ads or advertising in general, Mark Dawson has a really good course that he's put out for writers around self-publishing, and I will put a link to that in the show notes. But if you don't look at the show notes or are just sort of walking around while you're listening to this, try to stick in your head the name Mark Dawson. Look up Mark Dawson, D-A-W-S-O-N, self-publishing, and you'll get a lot of his stuff. He's a really good source for people who are starting out or people who are a little further along in the author journey. There are a lot of other great sources. Check the internet. Blogs, people have covered these topics in detail. The problem is being able to judge your mileage that you're going to get from this content on the internet. A lot of the topics are overly general. Maybe they're written for SEO and they don't actually contain good actionable advice. Or the people who are giving you the advice are sort of dubious background. They may not know as much about what they're talking about as they want you to think they do. So if you are looking online for more information around any of this, look into the sources that you're using. Make sure they actually are qualified to be talking to you about the thing they're talking to you about. And take their advice with a grain of salt. Try to validate it using other sources to make sure it's something that's actually real and is consistent across multiple places. If you've gotten this far with me, thank you for bearing with me. I'm sorry. I know I was difficult to listen to in places because I'm not well. Hopefully I'll be feeling better by the time I record the next podcast. Thanks for listening, guys, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.